The 1-900 Wrestling Program is brought to you, as always, by patreon.com/1900wrestling. Become a part of the Cool Kids Club and get access to the best wrestling Discord on the planet. If you don't know what that is, let me just pitch you a little slice of heaven, huh? How about every time that there was live wrestling on, there were actual people who were smart and funny and interesting, and like the best times you ever had with your friend watching wrestling on the couch when you were a kid, but in text form. Yes, I know. Talking about wrestling on the internet, it's a mind-numbing, awful bore between the Reddits and the Facebook groups. This is why you have to join the Elite Club. That is the 1-900 Wrestling Discord. Come on in. The water's fine, and the only way to get there is patreon.com/1900wrestling. But enough of talking about how we support the show. What do you say we just do the damn thing?
I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been involved in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number
1-900 Wrestling.
Oh,
stupid idiots.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of 1-900 Wrestling. My name is Justin Robert Young. Joining me, as always, from Austin, Texas. His name is Willie Dills Gregory. How you doing, buddy?
I'm great, man. Just got done with a marathon Angry Chicken episode. Boomsday Project coming out tomorrow. Not been able to pay a lot of attention to wrestling because there's a lot of Hearthstone going on right now.
There is a lot of Hearthstone, but we're going to do our best. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff outside the ring, and there's been a little thought experiment we've been looking to do for a little while now. So we're going to climb into that.
I did watch a couple of episodes of NXT the other day.
Uh-huh.
Could I just say, that show is still the best thing going. It's amazing.
So let me ask you this. The rumor flying around is that they might bring that to FS1.
Great.
So
more people need to see this.
Exactly. But let me. Somebody said, I forget who it was on Twitter. Somebody who knows about wrestling was like, I'm very excited for them to bring NXT to FS1. I feel like it will be a more popular show than Raw or SmackDown. And I kind of feel like we're doing. Kind of the same thing that I used to think back in the 90s when it's like, oh, my God, if ECW just got on, I mean, whatever, like, you know, when they got on TNN for 5 seconds or they, you know, if they were to get on USA, if they were to get on MTV or something like that, it would be bigger than Nitro. It would be bigger than Raw. And I feel like let's just be happy that it exists. Like, if there's one lesson that the ECW experience, for those who were fans of it then, that we should all learn, look, just be happy it's there. And if more people get to watch it, great. But do you feel like people put too much pressure on NXT?
Yeah, so here's kind of what this whole thing reminds me of, is if you pay attention to the NBA these days, it's a lot of people who talk about, is LeBron better than Michael Jordan? Is LeBron better than this guy? Is,
you know,
Steph Curry
even,
better than this guy? Even, is, you know,
even the president weighed in on that this
weekend. Yeah, the president weighed in on this. Yeah, it's and then I think it was Kareem who weighed in and said, It doesn't matter. There's lots of basketball players, and they are all, and there's some amazingly great ones, and we don't need to figure out where Kobe, LeBron, Michael Jordan, Steph Curry, Wilt Chamberlain. We don't have to figure out where they stack.
Yeah.
We could just enjoy them all for what they offer and what they are. And I think that's the correct way to kind of look at it, is you don't have to know which one is the best. I know it's a fun conversation for people to have.
Yeah.
But one thing that wrestling kind of does for me, too, is you can talk about who's the greatest wrestler right now, but that conversation also doesn't matter because everybody brings something completely different to the table when it comes to wrestling, right? Like these are all just superfluous conversations for people who have nothing else to talk about sometimes. Right. And
yeah.
And also for people who like to hear themselves talk and sound important because I know you don't know and that kind of thing.
Well,
same thing with the products. We don't have to say WWE is the best. We could say WWE is technically the most popular and gets the most eyeballs.
Yeah.
Those are just statements of fact.
Yeah.
But when you want to say, like, which one is the best, there's just too much criteria that one person likes one thing, one person likes the other thing. Some people like Chikara the best.
Yeah.
Because they like watching gummy bears get thrown across the ring and then, you know, people chant holy shit when somebody gets suplexed onto them. That's what they like. But some people hate that.
Well, you know, I think the one thing that you can say no matter what about NXT is it has the benefits and the detraction of being a taped show, of taping four episodes in a row. So, number one, you are forced. When everyone's like, oh, well, NXT is so great because they have longer-term storylines that they actually stick to. They have to. They only have, like, 3 points in, you know, going from takeover to takeover. They only have 3 places where they can alter the course of something. And in a bygone era, that would have been a problem because it's like, oh, it's not live. They're not answering the fans. And if you really think about it, somebody like Andrade Cien Almas, I think he was such a false start for longer than he probably would have been because you could only repackage him once every month and a half.
Sure. No, that's a good point. I actually do think that's an interesting kind of discussion to have, too, is does your product like get better because of the fact that you record, like, because essentially all of the writing is going to be built around 4 shows in one night, right? And so you're not going to get kind of stutter stop style writing like you do sometimes get with the weekly show, where during the week there can be edits, changes, people come down, they give notes, all that kind of stuff. It's like we wrote the whole thing, and we're going to shoot the whole thing, and there's not, and next week we're going to put what we shot. We're not going to suddenly change our mind on something based on an audience reaction or something like that, right? So you do kind of, in a sense, get a little more continuity when you shoot that way. But you're right. You then also are kind of stuck with something and don't get the opportunity to diverge based on what wrestling is great at is just playing to a live crowd and what's actually happening.
And that's really, I mean, this is no bigger example than with Lucha Underground, because they shoot the whole season in one go, right?
It's written like a season of television.
So
right?
And they shoot it like one. In the modern era of everybody getting all their clips and stuff and spoilers going up on Reddit immediately after the taping, you know, I remember when they had the Sexy Star win their title, that was like a huge deal. That was like a big thing. It was like the talk of Reddit for a day and a half, right? But nobody saw that for another 6 months. Like, it took forever. And by the time that it aired, it was like, okay, well, we know that she loses it in like 2 episodes, so who cares?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's, that's a funny thing too, the entire season thing. I kind of prefer, to be honest, I prefer what WWE is doing with the week to week stuff. But it's just, I think NXT has nothing to do necessarily like difference between the products and what is better or not. It really just is because of what the wrestlers are allowed to do in NXT, right?
Yeah.
Because the matches are given, every match is just given more time.
Well, on TakeOver for sure, and certainly in the television, there's
smaller cards, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah.
Because there's what,
you know, like, I get a little concerned about the size of the WWE roster from time to time, and it's nice. I like to see all these names. We're just hearing Keith Lee is about to, you know, have his first match on NXT. Matt Riddle coming to, well, I guess we don't know if it's NXT or WWE for sure yet, right?
No,
confirmation?
All the scuttlebutt. The scuttlebutt says that it's that he's going to be ringside at TakeOver.
Okay. So, I mean, yeah, it would be weird to me if he's the one guy they decide to just slingshot straight to the main roster because he's so different than what WWE's main roster does, right?
Yeah.
But then I get concerned because what makes NXT so great and what I love about it is that smaller rosters give these guys more time. And on the main roster, you do get stuck with some of these pay-per-views like Extreme Rules where it feels like everyone's got to get on the show.
Yeah.
Well, how do we do that? That's hard. You got a brand split. Then you had. Then they tried the double pay per view for each. You know what I mean? And that's a difficult situation, man.
I mean, I just wish the size of their roster for WWE, I think, is kind of exacerbated by the fact that they are so repetitive with their builds for feuds. Like, the same guys fight the same guys over and over and over and over again. Whereas it's like, I mean, now it looks like they're going to have, like, Titus Worldwide versus Authors of Pain, which seems like a SummerSlam pre-show match if I have ever yeah. heard one before.
Yeah.
But, like, initially, I just like the idea of, no, let's just have them have a little mini feud and then blow it off on Raw, right? And or, like, have them just fight Titus Worldwide and then the next week, like, there's enough tag teams. Or yeah. or tag them with two random singles. Like just sure. constantly rotate it. And that's the one thing I do like about NXT is that very rarely will the two pay-per-view opponents touch before
it's time. Yeah. yeah. And if they do, it's just maybe like a quick beat down or a stare down or something like that.
Oh yeah. No. They'll touch yeah. in a segment, like someone will yeah. get attacked or jumped after the match yeah. or something like that. But it's not the match. We don't see the match yeah. where it's like, oh, I wonder what it looks like for Seth Rollins to hit all of his moves on Dolph Ziggler. Oh, wait, we've seen it
a
billion
like.
Times. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Cool. Well, I yeah. know they're going to do it well again mm-hmm. on SummerSlam, but I don't know. I hope one of them, like, I don't know, does the rock bottom or something, like something that's like exciting.
Yeah. You want to know what it looks like, go to a house show, right? Don't show us everything on TV. I agree with you there. And you get cool moments like think of Ricochet and Dream, Ricochet flipping out of the ring.
Yeah.
And then when the fight actually happens, you like, again, yeah, you haven't seen these two actually go at it, but you know kind of what it's all about. It's about Velveteen Dream trying to prove that he can do the things that Ricochet can do and Ricochet being like, no, you can't. Check
yeah.
this out.
No,
that
sorry.
Kind of thing. That builds a feud more, and then the anticipation is there. Like, I think about, you know what I think about when you talk about stuff like that is I think about Brock and Goldberg, right? Where,
yeah,
like, they, you know, they did touch, but it wasn't, like, a match. And then every match was like, I don't know what's going to happen here. I have no idea what's going to happen.
I guess that's the thing.
So each match seems, like, really exciting.
Treat more of your wrestlers like they can't wrestle.
Sure.
Like, it's gonna take them 6 months to learn their 15-minute match. Like, if you treat Seth Rollins like that,
yeah,
then when he is a maniac, you're gonna be like, what? This is the craziest thing I have ever seen in my entire life.
This is the one thing, because it's like to me the biggest pet peeve in WWE that you just don't get in NXT. I mean, NXT people have their moves, right? I get yeah. it. But in WWE, you see the same sequence over and over and over again, right?
Well, you just see it more, yeah.
Yeah, like you. But in NXT, like, yeah, I do. I know Aleister Black is trying to set up for Black Mass. I get it. I've seen him do Black Mass before. I've seen him hit the rope and then backflip into the, you know, sitting on the ground with his legs crossed. I've seen this,
yeah. right?
I know that that's what the thing he does. But what you do, what you get is like, so every Gargano-Ciampa match, sorry, Ciampa, Matt.
Ciampa.
Like, followed completely different scripts and completely different sequences. I can't look at those two matches and be like, oh, yeah, here's this thing where they chain together the same seven moves in a row.
Yeah.
And that you see all the time in WWE. And I think that's what happens is you get a little jaded on that, right? When you're watching it. You're like, I know exactly
certainly
how these moves go and in what order they do them. And then what happens after that is 1-2-2, like that you know exactly how this all works.
This is the problem, and I the gift and the curse of WWE.
Yeah.
Because for you as a musician, you understand that there's the value of
playing
the, like,
hits.
Well, yeah, or like you know, there was always like the joke about like every Aerosmith hit, right? Where it's like four, like 8-word verse, and then like same word, like chorus, like, you know, chorus, yeah. mini verse, chorus,
you
then
know
the chorus
what, you know
again.
What makes a good pop song.
Yeah, yes. exactly. Like, yeah. and that's the WWE. They're like, you want to know what? We're going to give you the same thing over and over and over and over again. And the reason why is because, like a good pop song, music fans are like, okay, I heard it. I get it. I know what they're going for. I can appreciate it. You know, tell you what, toes in the sand, open drink, you're having a good time. Who doesn't love a good pop song, right? You're at,
no,
you're
that's
at
very
a,
true.
You're at a bar or a club, you're feeling it. You're like that, like Jason Derulo song that you couldn't stand if it just came on your Spotify. Now you're feeling it. But for everybody else, they don't listen to this stuff so much. They're kids or they're the people who are casual fans, and they're like, oh, wow. Oh, Seth Rollins, man, he sure can flip.
You know, this is a super good reference, actually, talking about pop music, because I know you've probably seen the comedy duo who did every pop song has the same chord progression. And literally just keep doing the same chord progression and can just change which song it is. And you're like, it's the same song, damn it.
Exactly.
But it's because humans are like predisposed to like essentially what that progression does, which is build tension, release, build tension, release, build tension. That's what actually like every song does. If you think about it, every satisfying riff that you've ever heard a guitar do, it's like it's getting further from the root note and it's back.
And
oh,
it's back. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just like this kind of nice feeling of and so every pop song does it. And now there's a new thing that they're doing where apparently there's a Justin Bieber vocal line that has been heavily edited and tweaked to be really high. And it is now similar to like the Wilhelm scream in movies.
Really?
It is now being thrown into almost every pop song, like this one little sample. There's actually some YouTube videos of people like showing you all the songs that it's in. And apparently it's somehow super pleasing to specifically young people's ears and makes them want to listen to the song over and over again and also go purchase the song. So
wait, so he just has this like siren call to the rocks?
it's like a line from one of his songs that ended up being used in that, and then it's now been kind of, it's like
somebody look this up, somebody watching look this up and find it in the chat, because we will bring
been
this
in a bunch of songs now recently, and it's like there's this history of this kind of thing where there's like a certain riff or a certain, you know, set of sounds just go well together, right? And then so if you're a WWE fan, like I like the hits, put on the pop radio station, right? And then if you like NXT, you're like I like Fish.
Sure.
I want it to be different every time.
Yeah,
like
what would all right.
You know
what is NXT then? Let's compare it. So WWE
NXT
is obviously
is jazz, man.
So WWE is arena rock, right? Yeah. Like it is U2.
And well done, arena rock is awesome.
Oh, come on. Yeah, you're in the middle of a gigantic, like, nothing's better. You know, Queen at Wembley Stadium, you see like that gigantic sea of people, you're like, that's rock music. You
I'm
are only
go see
a
Bruce
rock
Springsteen.
Star.
I want to hear, you know, Born to Run.
Exactly. Like,
and I want giant production values. Yeah, that's what I want, man.
That's John Cena in the middle of the ring going, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah. He's got his friggin' headbands. He's got bandana. The whole thing's going, right? Tight jeans, guitar. He's doing the hips. All of that, you know. But then, if you're NXT, you're going to, like, the local little tiny punk rock bar. Club.
Well, no, but it's got to be someone that plays arenas, right? Like, are they punk? Like, are they Green Day?
They're right below the level of arena. You know what I mean?
Well, no. So I'm saying like the most popular. So it's like when Green Day went from like a punk act to like they broke through on the radio. Green Day's never gonna play a football stadium, but they can definitely play an arena. You two can play football stadiums. Justin Timberlake, Garth Brooks can play football stadiums. But Green Day can be lauded. It can be loved.
Yeah.
But they're always going to cap out at a certain.
Or think like the biggest indie rock sensations like that you can think of is a little more akin, because, you know, like Mumford and Sons is incredibly popular.
Sure.
And yet, you know. You're not going to, although bad example technically, because Mumford & Sons, every song is exactly the same, and NXT doesn't have every song be exactly the same. Okay, Arcade Fire. There you go. That's NXT. The Tizzle Smash in the chat.
Arcade Fire. Oh, one. what about Daft Punk? Because they constantly switch their Daft lead Punk, talent.
Yeah. They just keep changing it up. It's like it's cool. You know it's cool, but it's also popular, so it's not weird that you like it, you know?
Yeah.
You could assume that people who like electronic music know about Daft Punk.
What if Is NXT like the trend? Like you notice like over the last like 5 years, the producers of songs became their own acts. So like, you know, like Uptown Funk is by Mark Ronson featuring Bruno Mars.
Sure.
Right. That's NXT. Because even like NXT is just as famous for Triple H as it is any of the talent that's come out of NXT.
For the writing and everything. Yeah. The wrestlers themselves, you know, and also, you know, they're temporary. Oh my God. NXT is Menudo. It's just as I'm saying that. So yeah, because the wrestlers essentially, you know, are temporary, right? They're going to be there. They're moving up. They're moving on to the next thing. I you know, I'm curious to see the end phase of all of this, NXT, WWE, and then of course the indies, where you kind of think of it as it's like NXT and New Japan are kind of on this equal level playing field as far as like I think the level they're like an equal level below WWE, albeit in different ways, right? Like one's a different branch, but and then you got like ROH, Impact, that kind of stuff, where you're talking, and then again in different ways, but kind of on an equal level, right? And then you've got like pure indies, right?
Yeah,
you've also got some things that are like PWG and Evolve, where it's like super cool on the indie scale, and then obviously you've got random dudes who are wrestling their third or fourth match in some super local thing. So there's like levels, but they're all kind of on the you can see the levels, right? You can, if you look from afar, you can see where they are. If you were to give a tier system, you can kind of see where they are. But what's the end game? Does like NXT at some point just outgrow the fact that it is the farm system for WWE and it just literally becomes like a third brand?
I mean, but what would it be able to do? Like to grow more than it is, right?
I know. Like, but I mean, it's still at this point. People say called up to the main roster. Like, is there a point
where you don't
even say called up to the main roster?
No.
You say this is the main roster as well. If being on NXT is the main roster,
like at the
and
end of the
between them, right?
At the end of the day, if any guitarist from any band got, you know, Bruce Springsteen gives them the call and is like, hey, well, I really think that you should come on tour, man. I really like what you're doing. Jack White is going to be part of the E Street Band. Doesn't matter that Jack White can sell out an arena by himself. He's going to be a part of this larger entity. If they asked him to join the Rolling Stones, doesn't matter that the Rolling Stones are fucking ancient, right? He's joining them. It's just, the WWE isn't about how big it is. It's about, like, you can't break that much branding, like, that much, like, history. They're just the 800-pound gorilla until they themselves dissolve into nothingness. You're muted. I don't know if you're muted.
Sorry, I think, I clicked away and it accidentally clicked mute. Yes, that is true, but we're also at a point where, like you use the examples of like Jack White, like I say Jack White like wrestlers are literally turning down WWE too, which is
are they?
Yeah.
Who?
Then you just read the whole thing? What's his name? Got offered ROH, New Japan, and WWE at the same time. And chose New Japan. Right? Like this was a whole thing recently.
I mean, I can understand if their deal, I can understand someone saying, hey, come to the Performance Center.
I mean, not a lot of people. I'm just saying there are some people doing it.
Oh, I think
Keith Lee is not turning it down. Matt
sure.
Not turning
I guess that's my
Ricochet
point.
Ricochet is not turning it down.
Is that like,
but people are.
Yeah, there are.
The Young Bucks are, right?
Yes. But I think the Young Bucks are in a very specialized situation. Kenny Omega.
They're the only
ones
in their situation. Yes.
Well, I mean, Kenny is, but Kenny also, I think, just really likes Japan. Like, you know, he's not somebody that has a family in America and is flying back and forth.
And so Will Ospreay was the one who wrote the tweet about it, where he got offered in the exact same period of time, WWE, Ring of Honor, or maybe it was Impact. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But he got three competing offers, essentially, and just chose New Japan, right?
And
he was talking about how there was a period of time where he thought he was going to have to go work for his dad or his uncle or something like that because he was never going to be able to pay the bills with wrestling. And I think the impetus for this tweet, it was like a tweet longer type thing or whatever, was that he had just actually like purchased a house for the first time in his life.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it is out there. Wasn't there something like Brian Cage did it too? I can't remember. There's people. People turn it down.
I know. I think that this has more to do with, and this is a credit to ROH and New Japan and Impact, that they are also on the rise and the money's a little bit better. The money's a little bit closer. Yeah. And then
there was Penta and Phoenix recently apparently saying, because they'd been approached and they both said, no, we're doing all our indie dates. We're sticking with independent wrestling. But they're also, I think, in a special place where they're wrestling on like six promotions. They never are not working.
Yeah.
Right. And, well, you know, and yes, there is a lot of people who I think this has just always been the dream is WWE. And they're just waiting for the right moment. But it's just funny to me because, yeah, we're now at the point where it's like these things are possible. NXT could literally just be you got Raw, you got SmackDown, you got NXT. Right, it could literally be that to me at some point where you can do a brand split and send people just literally between those three promotions as if they're completely equal.
Well, let me throw this by you. So there is now NXT UK, right? They're going to compete with World of Sport as a television property in the UK. They're going to sell that television program to a local broadcaster, at least they hope to. It's going to air on the network, yada, yada, yada. If that goes well, because those deals are, you know, Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate and all those guys, they still work their local promotions. They still work Progress and the other one in Scotland and you know, OTT in Ireland or whatever. What does NXT Mexico look like?
Oh, that's interesting.
Like, I mean, do they make a deal with AAA? Like, I would assume it'd be Spanish language. Like, I feel like
is it AAA or is it, what's the other one? CMLL?
CMLL is the other big one. And then Crash is another one that's down there. But the two biggest are AAA and CMLL. Yeah. But I guess, I mean,
I think you could probably make deals with both of them. And then, yeah, you have guys like Penta and Phoenix wrestling without them having to stop doing those other dates that they want to do.
I think that's, to me,
and then you have like Almas wrestling those guys again,
we're thinking in the wrong direction if we're saying when will blank overtake the WWE? Because I don't think that's happening.
I'm not saying overtake. I'm just saying they literally reach that tier because you could say that there are tiers.
Yeah, but I guess here's what I'm saying.
I feel like WWE is like maybe at a little bit of a ceiling right now, right? Where everybody else is closing the gap.
Sure. I think, yes, they are raising their platform 150%. Yeah. But I guess
think about the Attitude Era where the gap was just massive, right? And
well, no, in the Attitude Era, the gap was non-existent to negative because of WCW.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I'm talking like after WWE
bought WCW. Gotcha.
That period of time where there's like literally WWE and a bunch of stuff.
And random flotsam and jetsam. Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody's really talking about what that other stuff is unless it's literally you're going to that product, right? Like there's NWA things and there's still regional stuff, but it's essentially there's this and then everything else.
Yeah.
And now I think we're at a point where there's this and then these things and then these things and these things and like the gap is closing.
I mean, certainly for us, for the hardcore wrestling fan, it's never been more accessible. But here's my mom.
I could tell my mom.
Your mom's not going to care.
But she certainly doesn't know who Keith Lee is. She certainly doesn't know who Ricochet is and Matt Riddle. And yeah, she doesn't know any of this stuff.
My question is, specifically for NXT talent, we've seen them flirting with, all right, Adam Cole's going to wrestle at Evolve and yada, yada, yada. Like, when do they get so much talent that it makes more sense to have some of the polished NXT talent and maybe even main roster talent go spread your seed a little bit? Go, you know, let's unite a little bit more with other smaller indies to bring their level up by lending them out some talent.
It's actually a really interesting concept. I don't know how much they do it outside of, I mean, the fact is they are already essentially doing it with the WWE and UK stuff, right? The NXT UK stuff. It would be awesome if you could get these crossover events, man. I would freaking love it.
Well, because I remember, I forget who said it, but somebody was talking about, oh, maybe it was about Impact and like having Penta on Impact, and Penta was on MLW, and just the concept of like, hey, you know, we need to start looking at this as everyone versus WWE, because that's the one way that we can attack them is by making mega matches within our ability, because we're willing to share our talent and WWE is not. So let's think about what is the best Impact versus New Japan match. What is the best ROH versus Impact match? Like, and you're seeing that on, like, you know, Jericho's cruise and shit like that. But I wonder whether or not that's something that is kind of a road test for, like, hey, let's get things out here a little more. Let's go ahead and mix it up.
Dude, personally, I've tweeted about this. I would friggin' love it. Like, there's so many people that I would love to see go at it with each other. I just wonder how someone like Vince McMahon looks at that. And does he think that he's helping other people more than he's helping himself? Because,
well,
I think that guy looks at everything like, what do I get out of it, right? How does this help my company?
I mean, to be fair, it's, you need to start looking at, you know, you built NXT to be the star factory and the feeder for WWE, and there already is a very healthy indie circuit. But like, imagine if Matt Riddle coming in had already notched a win over Tyler Breeze or something like that. Like that, you know, he just made a random run.
No, that's the thing. I just don't know if he's the kind of person who looks at things that way. I think Triple H is.
Sure.
And I wonder how things go in the inevitable period of time where we're all mortal and, you know, Vince McMahon.
Debatable.
Is a lot older
debatable.
Than us.
Debatable. I don't know. I still
debatable,
think.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. You know, but in Vince, the future Vince, era, Vince, I'm talking 35 years from now.
I'm just saying Vince has, he walks into his room and he's got a floor to ceiling abacus. And he just, like, gets a daily death total every day. People who have died around the world. And he slides one more bead to the other end as he keeps meticulous count of who he survived.
I just saw, by the way, a special on apparently science is not that far away from being able to reverse the aging process. Like, it's literally, it's like a matter of time at this point.
Yeah,
that things are starting, like, they are starting to get good results through testing.
I'm just saying.
Like, I think we may all never die. Everybody who's alive right now and rich enough may never die.
All I'm saying,
rich enough is the key.
We're gonna find out it was steak wraps the whole time.
Sure,
that's why.
Well, the rumor is that the 23andMe people are like, that's the reason why they're collecting all of our DNA.
Oh, so to cure
they
death.
Sell back to us our younger selves.
Oh, Jesus. That's hilarious.
Yeah. I love that theory, by the way. Dude, I'm with you. I think because right now we're already at the point now. There was a period not even that long ago where a guy would come to WWE and they wouldn't even mention the other promotions he'd been at before.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that, like the big breakthrough of that was, I think, AJ Styles. Where, like, how do we not mention the friggin' everything he's done before this?
And
right?
it'll be curious to see whether or not they mention the fact that AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe has been a feud for fucking ever.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? At SummerSlam.
And I think, didn't they even show in some packages highlights from other promotions in, like, pay-per-view packages? I feel
for whatever reason, they have always been okay with showing still shots of the IWGP champion. And I wonder whether or not it's because they can say IWGP and not say New Japan.
Mm.
I wonder.
IWGP. that is an interesting thing. Have you ever tried to explain something to somebody and you're like, okay, so there's New Japan Wrestling. He's the IWGP Heavyweight Champion. They're like, what?
What the fuck are you talking about, brother?
It's like, I know. It doesn't make a lot of sense. Stay with me.
Yeah.
They also have this and this and this. And they're like, oh, and then the ROH champion is actually showing up on New Japan, and he's battling for his title.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
But meanwhile, he's the never open weight champion. Wait. So
yeah,
what's never?
Open weight.
No,
yeah.
No. It's called the never open weight. I don't know. Maybe it's a translation thing.
Mm-hmm. It's like, just don't think about it too
much. Yeah, it's wrestling.
And then they're like, what's welterweight? I don't know.
I don't know.
It is.
Well, here's something we do know. The brand and new mayor of Knox County, Tennessee, is none other than the Big Red Machine. Kane, the devil's favorite demon, is now Tennessee's favorite wrestling public official. All right, I want your general, just immediate reaction. Kane's the mayor. What's your initial thought?
I am not surprised at all.
Not surprised. Okay, why?
Not surprised at all. Yeah.
So from the second that he ripped off the side of the cage at Bad Blood, you're like, well, obviously this man is
a future mayor.
Yeah, a future public official.
I'm not surprised only because of a recent thing, like. Yeah, sure. Tell me years ago when Kane is, burning people and, stealing people's wives and stuff like that. Yeah, I don't think that this guy has a future in politics. But because of what has kind of happened in politics, I mean, Jesse the Body Ventura broke the seal, right? I mean, obviously.
Sure.
Wrestlers are all meant to be future politicians if they want to be. The Rock is going to be our next president. And it's maybe not our next, but
I mean, I'll tell you what, stranger things have happened, man.
But it's it doesn't surprise me because he seems very serious about this endeavor. And I think at this point in politics, we're at a period of time in history where technically he doesn't have name recognition. The name Glenn Jacobs doesn't ring across the entire country because people do know him as Kane, but someone who is been on your TV that you have heard of, things like this just seem to be more important than they ever have been in the past, right? Knowing the person's name prior to election.
Yeah. I mean,
really important.
Name recognition.
Don't pay attention.
Yeah. Name recognition in general, I think, is always very important in politics, specifically in local politics where not a lot of people vote. So literally if you just happen to vote and you have done literally no research and you look
and
you're like,
name, you know,
and you're like, Glenn, is that like Kane? Kane's running for mayor? Sure. Yeah. All right. Cool, Kane.
How big is this town, by the way, though? It's not a huge town, right?
No, this is effectively Knoxville, Tennessee.
What? I mean, that's not a small town.
No. It's a decent-sized town, but it's just the way that
I've
it's...
I've been there, and it is... I mean, it's not Nashville, but it's a really cool town, too, by the way. Okay,
Knoxville?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's and now, much more now, now he
I thought
can...
this was just like... some small town thing where he's gonna fix, farmer Roy's stables. Everyone's really excited about that. He's finally gonna put a 4-way intersection on Main Street, and that kind of thing. But no, Knoxville. Okay, Knoxville. Yeah.
Wow. By the way, Kane was a frequent caller to the InfoWars program, Jones InfoWars program.
I do know that he is very right wing in his political beliefs. Yeah.
This is what I wanted to get to because I saw a little bit of blowback on Twitter that was like, one part, hooray, an artist for whom I have enjoyed their art has greater success outside of their initial field.
I love watching him chokeslam people.
Yeah, nobody wants to be the one thing that they do for a living forever. We all, in general, kind of celebrate flowering and maturing and taking on new challenges as humans. But yet, there was a lot of like, even with this, it was like, but he's a hardcore libertarian, right? Like, so boo. Boo to Kane into Knoxville.
Yeah. What's funny to me about that? When I think of the word libertarian, I do not think of it in its modern sense at all. And yet here we are, right? Like,
well,
I still think of libertarian as just hey, government, stay out of my business, right? But there's a lot more to it these days. The connotation
certainly carries
a little bit of different weight than it used to.
I mean, the way I always understood libertarians were that there were the hippies that wanted to smoke weed, and then there were the gun nuts that wanted more guns. And for whatever reason, they both shared
a commonality.
They both shared a bunk bed, and they called that libertarianism.
But then it also became the party of like some very, very weird right wing ideologies, and then also things like essentially deregulation on things that I think should be regulated, things like that. You know what I mean? Like there's a lot of things that have been kind of piled
having been around some libertarian like circles. I can tell you for a fact that libertarians hate libertarians. It is a very dysfunctional group. And to say that like libertarians believe X is in general a foolhardy exercise. Because
so this means he is definitely going to be like at some point, because he's not that old, right? At this point, he's in his early 50s, right? Something like that. I'm looking this up.
Yeah.
Glenn Jacobs, 51. So yeah, he's got some time as a politician. You are a rookie status in the world of the politician at 51. He could be the presidential candidate for the Libertarian Party then at some point if he's actually like registered libertarian. that is a nutty. I know you have a lot of political content.
Sure.
Have you ever considered going to the Libertarian conference?
Oh my God. I wanted to last year. I need to this year. apparently they held the Libertarian National Convention in the same in the same convention center in Orlando that MegaCon happens, like their Comic-Con. And so it was just a shit show of epic proportion. Yeah. So I can't not be there this year. It's got to happen, or at least for the 2020 really election.
I want to see your coverage of that national convention. Seriously. To me, though, when you're on a local level, I feel like that's where I don't care if the mayor of Knox County is super right wing. Whatever, if I'm on the other side of the political spectrum, because that's unless I live there, right?
He's a mayor. Like, you know what a mayor does? A mayor is like, hey, did the garbage get picked up? Yell at the mayor if the garbage are there still potholes? Like, are the local things that government runs running on time? He's the boss of that. He's not going to decide whether or not Trump's going to get impeached or whether or not we should go to war or keep Obamacare.
Whether gay marriage is legal or not legal in Knox County. Like, these are not the issues that
that he's going to be doing. He is going to be choke slamming potholes.
it's similar. Like, to me, that's similar to when people like get pissed about San Francisco being so liberal. I'm like, do you live there? Then why do you care? Right? Like, just live in the place that represents you.
We're gonna sidetrack real quick into political talk. But did you see Tommy Lauren, the conservative pundit?
Tommy, the T-O-M-I.
T-O-M-I, yes. Tommy Lauren. Tommy. In your hometown of San Francisco, you're born and raised San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Says today on Twitter, I just got to San Fran. Immediately off to a great start.
Oh yeah, no, everybody's mad now.
I just watched
Twitter though, so truncating is whatever.
I just watched a homeless man snort cocaine off the street. A shame what the liberals have done to this beautiful city.
Huh. That's
Which
funny.
How, all right. Now I think we can be real on this. I still live in the Bay Area. You grew up in the Bay Area. There are many things that you can say that is unsavory about the streets of San Francisco.
Absolutely.
Up to and including playing the game animal shit or human shit, usually about a 50-50 guess no matter where you go.
You can get on the bus and you can play which man on this bus is masturbating right now.
Exactly. You can play hopscotch with the hypodermic needles that are left
on
the street.
Absolutely, yeah.
Like, the one thing I have never seen, homeless people don't have coke money, Tommy. Like, there's ways for them to get high.
This is definitely that happened material right here. Because,
I know.
No, homeless people are out. Okay, maybe it was some yellow ass meth not even meth, just crank.
Yeah,
maybe that's what it was, and she was confused. She doesn't know the difference. But yeah, no, Tommy, you can afford cocaine. Homeless people in the streets of San Francisco cannot.
I mean, here's what I know. If I were to guess who's doing cocaine, the media member who lives in New York City or the homeless person in the Tenderloin, I know which side I'm going with.
Yeah, I think if I'm rolling probabilities here, I know exactly which one I think is more likely. That's funny to me. But, you know, I understand that the point of, like, I agreed. I've said this many times. Like, when you tell people how beautiful your city of San Francisco is and they come and then they walk down Market Street, you're like, but I mean the other parts.
Yeah, yeah. No.
Like, don't judge us all based on this one stretch that's the most famous in our city.
Look out at the bridge. Look out at the bridge. Don't look behind you.
Pay no attention to this. Yeah. You got to do what other San Franciscos do and just step over it and keep moving.
Just pretend it doesn't exist and then ban straws.
I just, you know, like, the man yelling on the corner about who knows what, he's fine. You don't have to worry about him. Go get a cup of coffee.
Just go get a burrito. There's great burritos here. Have we mentioned? Well, crap.
Yeah. Have you had a bit of our crab cakes from the Fisherman's Wharf area? Well, all right.
What do you say we pour you a shot of Fernet?
Much to love, but it's funny. But like I said, that's our city, man. You know, hey. Knox County, Glenn Jacobs, you do you over there, buddy. I'm proud of you. 51 years old. I think he's probably at some point on the national level of politics, don't you think?
I don't know.
How well he does here. I mean, Cory Booker goes from mayor to friggin' potential.
Well,
Newark
is a different story because it's probably the biggest. It is the biggest city.
He probably doesn't have to turn Knox County around, right? In the same way.
I mean, it depends. I mean, I think Glenn Jacobs. I don't know if he could run for. I mean, not a quick turnaround with Knox County. I think he would have to stay there for a little bit before he ran for like state.
You
got to
put some time in. Sure.
Yeah.
It's not Gavin Newsom goes to lieutenant governor goes to potential presidential candidate pretty soon. Yeah, it's not that.
Oh, Gavin Newsom. All right, I don't want to do all local Bay Area politics. All I'm going to say.
So removed
just
from it
Google.
Now. Like, I was there recently, and I was like, "Hey, is Gavin Newsom still a thing?" They're like, "Yeah, he's running for governor." I was like, "Oh,
he's
okay.
going to be. He is going to be the governor of California."
For sure.
And by the way, just do yourselves a favor, listeners to the 1-900 Wrestling Podcast. Go Google Gavin Newsom and his ex-wife Kimberly Guilfoyle. If that name sounds familiar. Kimberly Guilfoyle is currently Donald Trump Jr.'s girlfriend.
Yeah.
But there
That's
are some,
quite a turnaround.
There are some photo shoots of those two together that are hilarious. And if you haven't seen them, get them in your life. Well, crap, man. I feel like we're already kind of at the end here. We didn't even get to do our bit.
I have to play pool in less than an hour. So the segment that... Okay. This might just become a recurring segment that we will always push this segment every single show for the rest of history.
All right. Hey, real quick, we do have an all-in update. Number one, it will be streamed on Fight, the Fight app. So you'll be able to get it on pay-per-view. Their pre-show is going to be broadcast on television by WGN, which is, I think, super, super, super cool. And I'm glad that they were able to make that deal.
Price point on this yet?
I'm not sure.
Like, is it just if you have a subscription to that, you just have it, or is it you have to pay?
I guess it'll also be streamed on Honor Club. $40 on Fight.
$40 on Fight. Okay. I mean, that's a lot. I don't like paying $40 for pay-per-views anymore because of my $9.99 a month.
Well, I mean, you can get Honor Club, and that's just another recurring payment.
Sure. How long do I have to have Honor Club before I can cancel? Because the other thing, I don't see myself watching Honor Club consistently enough to justify a monthly payment, right?
I got it for WrestleMania weekend, and then I just let it lapse because, like, it's just too much goddamn wrestling, man. Like,
yeah.
Just too much. Oh, my God.
I know. That's the thing. It's like, I really want to, support this all-in thing. You know, but what I really wish is that there was a place where you knew in your town that they were going to have it, and you could just go do the thing, like $5 to get in.
Oh, yeah.
Watch it like we did in Vegas with the WWE pay-per-view, right? That kind of thing.
I know. Well, I'm going to have to figure out a place where we can watch it at Dragon Con. Somebody better get it in the room, and I'll roll in.
Where you're going to be?
Yeah.
During All In? Okay.
I'm going to be in Atlanta, the ATL, baby.
Well, I'm going to try to find a way to watch it because I really do want to watch it live as it happens. It's a seminal moment here.
And, by the way, match announcement. Wrestling. Christopher Daniels, Fallen Angel. Versus Stephen Amell, the Arrow.
Wow. We all knew Amell was going to be there in some way, shape, or form, right?
Yep.
That's cool that he's just going to have a match. Like, and not even like a six-man tag or anything like that.
I thought they were going to hide him in a tag match, but no. They are going to
come in, do some fake punches, be the Arrow and get out. But no, okay, here we go. Has he been training? I mean, is this...
Well, I mean, remember, he was not bad at SummerSlam a couple years ago.
He is an athlete, that's for sure. Still surprised. I'm still surprised. Now, I will say this, though. Daniels is probably somebody who can carry him, if need be.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what makes the most sense.
How old is that guy, by the way?
And then Frankie Kazarian and Scorpio Sky, the rest of SCU versus the Briscoes.
Okay.
And then a 15-person over budget battle royal will be on their WGN broadcast pre-show.
Okay. There's going to be some good matches here, man. This is exciting.
I think that's where we're going to get some legends and some fun surprises and maybe... what's it called? Maybe Bernard the Business Bear winds up winning the battle royal.
Look, this is why I'm telling you, man. I gotta watch this live. This is like one of those things where I don't want to just see a bunch of highlights on Squared Circle. I want to watch this thing happen.
No, it's gonna be a moment. I'm super pumped for it. I'm bummed it's not gonna be on Twitch, but. It'll be fine. Okay, so here we go. That's Rocky Romero, Moose, Colt Cabana, and All Ego Ethan Page will be on the pre-show.
Who's the girl in this photo?
I don't know. Who is the girl?
Yeah, I don't recognize her.
I don't know. But certainly not Flip.
Jordan Grace.
Jordan Grace. Okay. All right. Well, Willie, big Hearthstone... release tomorrow. Anything should people be tuned to their Twitches for your gameplay?
Yeah, so twitch.tv/WillyDills is where I'll be streaming pretty much all day tomorrow. I'm gonna do the thing that I generally do on release day, and I'm going to order in like some takeout Chinese, something like that. And I'm going to stock the fridge.
Yeah,
with beer, and we're just gonna play Hearthstone for like 12 straight hours, and it's gonna be fantastic. And then Wednesday we're gonna do a lighter schedule, but be back and play a lot. I think Thursday I'll be working, and then it's the weekend I'll be around all weekend playing Hearthstone. So just if you like Hearthstone, if you're curious about what's gonna be going on in the Boomsday Project, that's what all my life will be consumed with over the next week.
All right,
so check me out twitch.tv/.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm calling in. We're gonna. I'll join you because I'm super pumped because I'm really tired of the meta that's happening right now.
Well, tomorrow just hit me up whenever you're around, and we'll discuss.
We'll figure it out. We're gonna call it in the ring.
Yeah, exactly.
Friends.
Bye.
If you kickstarted my game, Action News, great news for you. It is now shipping. So if you backed it on Kickstarter, then head on over to your email. There should be an email in there. You just got to verify your address and hit ship, and it will ship right to you. There's no waiting unless you are at some of the higher tiers. Then all that's coming to us so we can give you all the signatures and everything that... you guys paid for. But if you didn't kickstart it, good news for you too. You can just straight out buy it. ActionNewsGame.com is where you can go to buy the latest and greatest of the Contender Games family.
I want you to call me
But that about wraps it up for us. For Willie Does Gregory, I am Justin Robert Young, reminding you to
900 Wrestling.
Be dialing.
Stupid idiots.
They call me Horror.
If you smell what the Rock is cooking. And his name is John C. Well, look at this prima donna. Thank God Donald Trump, a whole idiot.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.